What up, Periscope family? Brought to you by Miller Lite, official sponsor. Well, we're actually not sponsored, but Miller Lite is a great product. Only 3.2 grams of carbohydrates per serving. So this is two. So this tall can is two servings. So keep in mind, if you have one of these, it's 6.4 grams of carbs. But that's still really good because one Stella is 25 grams of carbs, which is basically like a piece of bread.
It sounds to me like you're throwing shade at Stella.
Also, only 96 calories. So look, highly recommend this product. It tastes great. It's even better for your body. It's good for your mind. Look.
Hashtag no ad.
If you haven't drank Miller Lite, I think you should start drinking it all the time.
You can lose weight and get smashed. Water.
You can be on a diet and still have beer. Like, that's revolutionary. Never been done in human history. Miller Lite, sure
Speaking
sign
of
a good time.
Revolutionary. Sam Adams.
That's not fair though.
Not fair.
Anyway, we're back in the studio. Can we start recording? Or are you guys ready? Or
we're recording.
Oh, okay. All right.
Our levels are good.
Shout out to the Periscope family.
One time.
We're going to start recording right now. Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. Round 2 edition. Round 2 predictions. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by Nick and Joe Berger. Back in the garage, round one is over. And do you guys want to quickly touch on round one, sort of postmortem?
We made enough mistakes.
I do not recall.
Okay. Let's quickly go over this because I think that the round two predictions is, you know, what the people want to hear. Mm. But let's do a little round one postmortem. Let's start with the San Jose Sharks. You know, they lose to Edmonton in six.
Yes.
Six games.
I had six games.
I think I had seven.
The other way.
I had Edmonton in seven.
You guys both had Edmonton in seven.
Yes, we did.
So, I'll just throw it to you guys. Why did the Sharks lose?
They were slow. Oh my God, were they slow.
Yeah, they were slow. And some guys, it's understandable. You and I talked about it, Felix, that Logan Couture, who was coming off that horrific face injury in which his face was completely broken, looked like he couldn't move for the first couple of games, and it was a valiant effort on his part to even be out there, but that was just one example of them being slow. And it turned out that Patrick Marleau had a broken thumb and still scored three goals, and Joe Thornton
was missing a knee.
Yeah, he tore his ACL and MCL, and Donskoy separated his shoulder twice.
Yeah.
But
I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
You know, I need to find a way to justify all of my picks. I'll make excuses.
So where did it go wrong?
They had a lot of problems.
Where did it go wrong?
Everyone. So I'll start with the power play, which I feel like I do all the time.
That's a good point.
Everybody tried to make it seem like it wasn't a big deal because the whole thing was, oh, the referees don't call penalties in the playoffs, so it doesn't matter if your power play is good. Well, Edmonton was parading to the penalty box all series up until game six.
And the refs have been calling penalties the past past three playoffs. Like, they've been actually, like, they've turned over a new leaf.
Yeah,
well, a slightly different leaf.
It was a huge factor in pushing the Sharks over the top last year, and it could have been that for them again this year, but it did not produce.
I think one of the big factors in the Sharks' decline on the power play is that they changed what made them successful. I think last year they were one of the best teams at working below the goal line,
mm-hmm.
those low to high passes, you know, getting the penalty killers bunched up around the net and then kicking it back out for a good look. You know, and there's been some good stats thrown around on Twitter about this. You know, Marlowe's attempts and shots on the power play have completely evaporated over the last few years, and it's become a very burn centric power play, and I think they're kind of proving that doesn't work. And a good power play is where you have multiple threats,
right? And it's funny that you mentioned it, because when they did work the puck below the goal line in that series, they looked really good
because it's hard to keep up with,
yeah,
because there's a lot of movement,
but they didn't do it all the time, and it looked like they you know, Brent Burns was not getting as many pucks through to the net as he normally
and,
does.
Yeah, you know, like Felix said, you know, they're not they sort of abandoned the low to high, you know, working below the goal line. Because you work below the goal line, and you know, it sucks the penalty killers down low, which once you kick it up high, Brent Burns has a lot more space and, you know, a lot more room to shoot.
Right. And also you don't have to shoot there because then they're scrambling, mm-hmm. and then you can pass it back.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of things. So I don't know. I think that it's asking a lot of Brent Burns to just get pucks through.
Yeah.
Because if you know, I mean, these teams look at video incessantly.
And he's just so good at it though.
But if they know, like, playoff series are different because if a team can just hone in on one thing, they will do it.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at the Sharks against Nashville last year, you know, they completely shut down Shea Weber. You know, they're like, puck does it, when the puck goes to the point, we make him pass it over to Josi.
Yeah.
And, you know, let him shoot. Don't let Weber shoot.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Nashville last year and this year, you know, were more than just Shea Weber. But, you know, it's sort of similar. Like, teams, you know, like the book on the Sharks power play is out there now. Everyone saw it in the playoffs last year. You know, it's going to go to Burns. He likes to shoot. They want him to shoot it.
It's just weird that they abandoned something that, like, was still working. Like, when they worked the puck down low against Edmonton, it worked. So for them to abandon that or just to not execute it consistently is puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, they did try some things as the series, you know, wore along. Like, they did at one point shift Burns over more into that Ovechkin spot, which I think if they can go with that next season, they could be really interesting. Because if you have him over there, I think you're making better use of him than him shooting from his strong side from the blue line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because then he's also in the one-timer position.
Exactly. And that's what all the good power plays do these days. Yeah. No one... If you look at the good power plays in the NHL, none of them are sort of driving their offense from the point. It's all in sort of a diamond.
I think if the Sharks were to go more in that direction, it'd be much more valuable if they can find someone to play that other than Burns, because Burns is so good from that position. It would just you know, it adds another dimension, and so it would open up both.
Well, maybe Timo Meier.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm down.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we'll wrap up our takeaway from the series. I think that my final 2 points in the series. I think that the Sharks, a big thing that they tried was throwing Vlasic and Braun at McDavid, and it just didn't work. I mean, it just didn't work, and everyone's been trying to convince me that, you know, they defended well, and look, maybe in a micro sense they did, breaking up plays here and there, but the Sharks just got outplayed when that matchup was happening. And then my second thing I'll say is that Jones had a really good series.
Yeah.
Martin Jones, the goaltender, he looked really good. You know, the goals he let in early on were shaky.
The first three games.
But the thing is, he was also stopping a lot of other shots.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a goal is a goal.
Like, you and I were talking about this, and everyone made a big deal of the five hole, and
it looks bad.
Yeah, it looks bad. I'll jump in too and say that his five hole has never been a problem like this, so it's weird to see it happen now, but it's not a 3-point shot, like you said. It's still just one goal. He stopped a lot of other shots.
And you just know that he's better than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, if you fail a test, you'd rather fail it, you know, 55% than like 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the end of the day, you still failed, and that's kind of how I look at five whole goals. It sucks, but if you're a good goalie, you'll rebound, and he did.
Yeah,
he got better as the series wore along. Especially, was it in game five,
overtime,
or game six, the one where they lost?
Well, they had the overtime game that they lost 4-3, and he stood on his head and made 40 something saves.
Right. Yeah. So I think. I although the Sharks lost, and, you know, I think we'll do a Sharks postmortem podcast.
We will, because we could.
But I think that if anything was a good takeaway for the Sharks in the series, it's that Martin Jones, I think he's fine.
He is fine.
Hopefully.
If you told me that
you can't throw out the regular season, but yeah, it's a good sign.
I'm still going to contest second half, but a season is a season, so you're right. But if you had told me he was going to post a .935 save percentage in the first round, everyone would have taken that. So
right, Okay. Anything else you guys want to touch on from the first round?
Blues fans, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
The Jake Allen.
Yeah, the St. Louis Jake Allen.
The Jake Allen saga.
Jake Allen from, you know, because of how many games were on at once, there was a lot of flipping between channels.
Yes.
So, like, I couldn't stick with...
Well, because they're also in that awkward time zone. Yeah. Where they're between games.
Yeah, so I didn't catch too much of that series, but what I did see, Jake Allen looked incredible.
Yeah.
Like he looked like the superstar that St. Louis thought he was going
to be. Yeah, I know it's a small sample size because it's only the first round of the playoffs. It's 4, 5, 6, 7 games. But I think the Minnesota Wild posted the best Corsi 4 percentage of any team by a lot.
Yeah, well, depending on who you ask nowadays, Corsi is dead. Yeah. So.
the very first game that the Wild lost, I think, 1-0. They outshot St. Louis. I think it was like, was it around 50 to like 20?
It was something obscene.
Well, according to Jeremy Roenick, what he said after Bruce Boudreaux, he was responding to Bruce Boudreaux's comments. For those who don't know,
JR will respond to anyone's comments.
After the series ended, Bruce Boudreaux, I think correctly, although no one's going to like what he said, the better team didn't win. I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically the better team did not win that series, and I would tend to agree with him. But then JR responded, well, yeah, if you look at the team that had the most shots and the most chances, then yeah, they were the better team. and I'm like, okay, JR, but like that's a pretty big piece of it, right?
That's a pretty valid argument.
It's like me comparing myself to Bill Gates and being like, well, yeah, if you consider the guy that has more money richer,
yeah,
yeah, of course he's richer, blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Blues aren't a bad team, and I think that,
no, they're not.
You know, I was kind of hesitant to... I never knew how to feel about this Wild team, and I didn't see them obviously losing in round one, but I had them losing in the second round, so
yeah.
I feel kind of good about my skepticism, because I saw some people having them in the final, and I was like, I don't know about that.
I got over that in, like, January.
Yeah, they sort of, the last 2 months sort of normalized.
But anyway, we'll do some more post-mortems, because they're kind of my favorite part of the first round in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every team kind of faces a bit of an existential crisis.
And there's an absolution to them. They lost.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, what if? You know, it's like, no, they lost.
Like, it's over. You have to go home. Like, it's... So, I don't know. But anyway, we're recording this on a Tuesday night. But tomorrow, or by the time we'll be hearing this, it'll be Wednesday. So tonight, the second round begins, I think, with Anaheim, Edmonton, and Nashville, St. Louis.
Yeah, Western Conference.
Yeah. But I wanted to break these series down and get your predictions. I'm going to start with the least interesting series to the most interesting.
Hmm.
And again, this is purely subjective. Many would disagree with my rankings. But we're going to start with the least interesting. Ottawa Rangers.
How did I know?
Ottawa has home ice advantage by virtue of being the second seed in the Atlantic Division.
You don't want to quickly, since we're starting there, you don't want to quickly go over the Canadiens?
No. I am legit, like, depressed.
When Carey Price gets traded, we'll talk about it.
Hey, Galchenyuk's going to get traded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, don't get me started, because this podcast will never end.
You're just going to be winding down an infinity hole of despair.
But the Rangers are the team, you know, on the road for the first two games, even though they had like 100-something points.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, we'll start with you. Who wins this series and why, and in how many games? This is a tough one to pick, actually.
I know, because the Rangers, they didn't, like, again, they were sort of like in the same boat as St. Louis. I didn't see a whole lot of their matchup with Montreal. Pretty much only went to overtime. And, you know, they didn't wow me in really any particular category. I mean, Lundqvist, you know, played very well.
He did.
And I think, you know, that's the big key for them. If he continues to go well, I think they win the series. But, you know, Ottawa... They're,
Ottawa's feisty.
Yeah, they're not going away.
Yeah, shout out to our man Callum Fraser for
he told us.
Yeah,
and
yeah. So do you? So who do you have then?
I think I'm going to go with New York.
In,
I don't want to push again, but I'm
like, how do you pick this series? That's just what I keep coming back to. Like,
six or seven. either way feels like a push, but I'm going to go with New York.
But it could be a sweep. Like, you know what I mean?
It could be.
That's just how bizarre the series is going
to
be.
Like, I was not expecting Ottawa to... Like, I thought if Ottawa was going to win, it was, like, going to have to be in Game 7. Like, even with a depleted Boston lineup.
But they got very depleted. I mean...
Oh, yeah, they did.
They were skating on one leg by the end.
I mean, let's look at all the weird things that happened. One, Ottawa won in the first round. Eric Karlsson played with a broken heel, and you never would have known because he still looked amazing.
He was in God mode.
He was in God mode, and he looked incredible.
Dude, that stretch pass that he made. Oh, my God.
Amazing. Bobby Ryan is a league leader.
He's back.
In goals in the playoffs.
Ryan is back.
He can finally reclaim his title of Bobby Stevenson.
But the best part of that series, Clark MacArthur.
Yeah.
The coming series winner.
Big multiple times.
That celebration was
one
for the books.
Yeah, I'm stoked for him.
I'm kind of happy for this right now.
The closet Ottawa came out in you?
Did you shed a manly tear?
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like, the Senators are a good story.
I want to see them.
There's a lot of good narratives on that team.
Yeah.
So, okay, Nick, you gotta make your pick.
Okay,
here.
This is the only series in the second round where I wrote down both teams as the winner. Because it's like you said, I don't know how to pick this one. I guess if I'm going to make the head versus heart pick, my head pick is New York and my heart pick is Ottawa because I think Ottawa is just fun. The Rangers, that series against Montreal was a very momentum-driven series. It seemed like it was constantly shifting back and forth. There was one period when Montreal dominated and then the next period it would flip on its head. And I think that, you know, the Rangers, when they're on top of their game and they're playing with a lot of speed, they're tough to handle. And when Henrik Lundqvist is playing out of his mind like he did, they're even tougher to handle. So I don't know. I have a feeling about New York.
Okay, so we have two for New York. Did you say how many games?
I'm going to go 7.
Okay. So you said 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Let's just go with 7.
Yeah. Okay. Either one feels like a push, so I was just like,
okay, well, I think that New York has a lot of strengths. Like, they are pretty much four lines deep. I think every line pushes the pace.
You got guys like Kreider, you know, guys who can actually, you know, throw out there with speed and push the pace. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, they can, if you have momentum, they can still come back and swing at you hard.
Yeah, they don't have a true first line, but they just have, like, four quality lines. The one concern with them is their blue line. They didn't really particularly look good, but Brady Shea.
Yeah.
He lit up the Habs. Kind of ironic that I think a right shot number 76 defenseman lit up the Habs in round one.
Almost like instant karma.
And then Lundqvist. Look, so, but you know what? I'm in on these pesky Sens. I am in.
I want it to
like
happen.
Like, they, something about that team, Craig Anderson,
yeah,
Eric Karlsson, just the kind of quality they have up front, because they don't necessarily have a superstar up front, necessarily, but they also just kind of have, you know, four lines they can roll.
Yeah.
And, you know, they swapped out a lot of bad players. You know, like, even, it's funny because people laughed at them bringing in Stahlberg and Burrows, but those guys pushed out lesser players from the lineup at the deadline.
It's true.
And so you think about it, and I think this is kind of a wash, you know, like talent-wise, because just having Eric Karlsson on your blue line, you basically have the best player on the ice most of the time if you're not counting the goaltender.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't even mentioned Craig Anderson yet. You know,
like, well, that's what I'm saying.
For as much praise as, you know, I've already given Henrik Lundqvist, Craig Anderson is just as much up to the task.
Yes. So for that reason, I have Ottawa in 7.
Boom. Okay.
Do we think that, boom, you know, whether it's New York or Ottawa comes out of it, that the team that comes out of that series could beat either Washington or Pittsburgh?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sweep.
I think it would be a short series.
Well, I mean, look, this series is super coin flippy to me. I'm excited for it. This is a heart pick to me. Like, I'm totally, this is purely emotional. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So 2 out of 3 picked New York there. So, if New York wins, credit these guys.
Mm.
Next up, Nashville, St. Louis.
Yes.
I had this one as the second least interesting because I get the sense, I'll kick this one off. I get the sense Nashville is going to steamroll St. Louis. I think that if the Predators do have a disadvantage against St. Louis, I feel like the Blues are going to try to kind of slow down the pace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, for sure.
They're going to try to muck things up. And then look, if Jake Allen keeps playing this way, it's going to be tough for Nashville. But I think Nashville is going to be pushing the play a lot more than they did in round one. I mean, they kind of got outplayed in the first two games against Chicago. But I just think this Nashville team is too good. I made my bracket. I had them going to the final before this all started. I'm sticking with that. I have Nashville in five games.
Do you think Pecorine is still going to be playing as well as he did in the
first
round?
I don't think it matters.
No?
I don't think it matters because, I mean, look, maybe he doesn't play as well, but I don't see him cratering the series.
And the only reason why I bring it up is because Pecorine, not necessarily...
Okay, we'll make your prediction. I have Nashville in five. So, or like, give us your spiel.
I'll go Nashville in six. You know,
okay, so you're giving Blues two games. Yeah. Maybe I'm not respecting St. Louis enough.
That's the thing. Like,
I had them out in the first round. So
even just based off of Jake Allen, like if he continues to play well, not just spectacular like he did in the first round, but play well, he could easily steal at least a game. And I think St. Louis has enough talent to win another game on their own.
Yeah, I mean St. Louis is a good roster.
Yeah, so
the Preds, man, they're so good.
But you know, what I was trying to bring up with Rene is I never know exactly what Pecorine is going to show up.
Yeah, I just think in this series in particular, I just don't think it matters as much as it might have in round one. Because in round one, if Pecorine isn't nearly as good, they lose that series. Or they definitely don't sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And he did have a good year.
Nick?
I'm picking Nashville in six. I'm giving St. Louis more credit this time than I did last time.
But still losing.
That Nashville defense, man. And I'm curious to see if the Blues do anything different forecheck wise, since Nashville is so adept at moving the puck from the back end. That will be something to keep an eye on. But I just think that they're gonna, I think, find a way to break down the neutral zone. Log jam, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I don't think they're going to freaking kick the door down because St. Louis is just so stingy defensively. But I think Nashville just has a lot of talent. And I think the Rene Allen matchup, unless Jake Allen did what he did in round one, is kind of a wash.
So right.
I'll take Nashville.
Okay.
Clean
sweep.
I think it's going to be a physical series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think St. Louis should have won that first round, so I can't see them kind of doing it again.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Okay, well, that was kind of quick. Next up in my interest ranking, so the second most interesting, Anaheim-Edmonton. I guess I'll start this one since I'm the duck.
The resident expert.
I'm the ducky. I think this is going to be a fascinating series because I think these are two, I'd say, pretty evenly matched teams. I think they both kind of have their weaknesses that kind of counteract each other. I have Anaheim in seven for a couple of reasons. I think that for all the talk about how good Cam Talbot's been, John Gibson was pretty darn good in round one.
Yes, he was.
Even though he got pulled in game three, I think that the added dimension of having puck movers on each pairing for Anaheim is something that Edmonton just didn't have to deal with in round one.
Mm.
You know, all due respect to the Sharks blue line, but I just, you know, it's not really comparable. And then I think the Ducks are deeper up front. I think that the Kessler line, the, you know, Lindholm with Manson or however they sort that out, I think those guys are going to be, they're going to be able to focus quite a bit on the McDavid line. And, you know, look, Anaheim is home ice advantage, and they've been really good at home this year. So I'm giving the Oilers a pretty good shot here because I think they are a good team. I think they've proven they're a good team. But I just think the Ducks are better. So give me Ducks in seven.
Yeah, Anaheim, they found ways to win. And as cliche and generic as that sounds.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, you have Ryan Kessler sitting on a puck in game one to milk out the clock.
Yeah, and a game where they didn't even play well and they came back. And, you know, in the other games, I thought, you know, they looked excellent. And Ryan Getzlaff just looks possessed. I think it's going to be a tough series. I've got it going seven. I feel like both goalies are capable of stealing games for each team, and the McDavid factor is, you know, as long as he is like out there with a pulse and he's breathing, he can tilt the ice for them. But yeah, give me Anaheim.
In seven?
Okay.
I like Anaheim in six.
Oh, wow.
And that's
disrespect.
what I'm going to be most curious about, see what direction the series goes, is you're going to have guys on Edmonton like Maroon and Cassian and Nurse that are really going to, you know, they're going to get real scrappy. Like,
oh, yeah.
And Anaheim
loves to play that game.
Yeah. And I think Edmonton's going to start all that crap, but Anaheim's better at it.
And they're better at not getting penalized for it.
Yes, and I think it's just going. We saw how frustrated Connor McDavid was in the Sharks series.
And Kessler's going to pull every trick.
Yeah, and I think Anaheim, Edmonton's going to try and play a game that they're familiar with. They're not as good at that game as Anaheim is, and Anaheim's going to take advantage of it. And you're not going to see the Oilers be nearly as effective, just because they're going to be off their game. They're going to be focused on something other than playing a hockey game.
I'm going to be curious to see how the matchups bear out, because in the series against San Jose, I won't say they shut down McDavid, but they did limit his production.
He had 4 points.
He had 4 points, and one of them was an empty net goal. So they, you know, like I said, didn't shut him down, but they... Yeah. They kept him within reason. Martin Jones kept him off the scoreboard. But the main point is that they didn't need him to score a hat trick in every game. Zach Cassian.
Well, that's
and
the thing.
Milan Lucic. Yeah. Like the secondary guys stepped up, and I'm wondering, is that going to happen again against Anaheim?
Well, and that's a really good point you brought up, is that, look, McDavid had 4 points in round one, and they still won the series.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we shouldn't take too much from that, because the amount of attention that he dictates, that he commands out there, I think it just kind of exhausts teams. And like you were saying, it frees up some other guys. Mm. What I'm really curious about, though, and I think what could, and the reason why I'm giving this seven games, and you know, maybe even in a coin flip game seven, although it would be in Anaheim, so it'd be better than a coin flip for Anaheim, but. Mm. That second line hasn't done a whole lot yet with Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, and Lucic. So if they can get going, because you know that Anaheim is going to be throwing all the attention at McDavid, maybe if that line can get it going, it could be a different series, but I don't know.
I don't know if Anaheim has to throw all their attention at McDavid, because you look at the Sharks, you know, it was Vlasic and Braun out there, you know, every time McDavid was out there. Anaheim, I don't think they need to throw their best defensive pairing against McDavid. I think just throw Kessler out there with him.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you know, he's going to be good at getting under McDavid's skin, and
that'll be his only job.
Yeah,
besides winning faceoffs.
And I think you really are going to see that happen. You know, McDavid's already frustrated.
And, and he's kind of got a short temper.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think Anaheim, you know, they're not going to have to commit all the resources to shutting him down. Like, I think they just have to put Kessler's line out there.
I think we're going to see, if Kessler is in full form, which I suspect he will be, I can see the narrative of McDavid needs to reel himself in kind of pop up, kind of like young Crosby.
Mm.
Because, look, it must be damn annoying to play Kessler.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does so many little things that just should be penalties. Like little jabs with a stick. Just he'll do stuff like he'll just hold your stick.
Yeah.
Like,
which is holding the stick.
Yes. But like he's not tugging on it. He's just putting his hand on it, sitting there, and it's like, why are you doing that? Or like he'll be tugging on a guy's jersey. Just, man, seven games of that, I mean Connor McDavid is gonna go crazy.
It's like what John Mulaney, the comedian, says about that bully that gets to the thing that you hate about you the most. And I feel like that's what Kessler does. He finds that thing that pisses you off, and it's not even a big deal, but it just bothers you.
Yeah.
And it just will get you off your game.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing I'll say, though, is that Connor McDavid's probably been dealing with that his whole life as a hockey player. So, I don't know. Even then, he's never dealt with Ryan Kessler like he has before. So, we'll see. Okay, so I have Anaheim in seven. Joe, what was your
six?
Anaheim. Yeah, right. Anaheim 6. Okay. Well, we're already at the last matchup. The most interesting, in my opinion.
Yes, per Felix Sicard.
Washington, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, that 1-5. I mean, they steamrolled the Blue Jackets. And then, like I predicted, by the way, I'm going to gloat a little bit here.
Oh, he's standing up, folks.
I'm not actually standing up. But that Washington-Toronto series played out exactly as I said it would. I had Washington in 6. They won in 6. Toronto had their moments. Everyone at the end was like, oh, Toronto's arrived. But, you know, they're not quite there yet. Anyway, gloat over.
That series, first of all, the look on Barry Trotz's face when he was stepping off the bench to go shake Mike Babcock's hand, the look on his face was like, oh, shit, we just got away with it.
Yeah. Well, what I found interesting, I saw a comment on Twitter. I think it was Tyler Dello that tweeted this, but that Pittsburgh might actually be a better matchup for Washington because they don't play the same style that Toronto does, that speedy game. And I think you could even argue that Toronto's depth, four lines down, might be a little bit better.
Mm.
And they have a bit more puck moving on the back end. I don't know. Like that was a tough matchup for Washington.
That was an interesting thing that Babcock did because he knows that defense was not their strongest, and it showed on many goals in that series. Yes.
Including the series winner.
So, like, you know, what he was doing was it got on the defenseman's stick and it came right off. Like, he wanted the puck moving from the back end to the front end really quickly.
And that's modern hockey. Yeah. Like, that's how you do it.
One of the many things that I was wrong about in round one is I said that if the big guns for Toronto, Matthews, Nylander, those guys, if they don't produce, I don't know where it's going to come from, and I give them no chance. Well, it turned out they got some contributions from like the supporting cast. Like Kasperi Kapanen scored in overtime on a beautiful pass
that
from
pass
Brian
from
Boyle.
Brian
Boyle.
That was a heady pass.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's another loss for Nick Berger. I'm sorry.
But anyway, no more Leafs talk. No more Leafs talk. All right. Washington, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Who do you got?
Okay, so this is really confusing for me because
always a good way to start a sentence.
I definitely trust whatever you're going to say now.
When we made our brackets, I picked in the second round Washington over Pittsburgh. Okay. So do I have to stick with that, or
you can? I mean, it's totally fair to change your mind based off what you saw, but
I was just really impressed with Pittsburgh. And even though they're still missing several key players like Hagelin and Letang, Crosby and Malkin and that Sid and the Kids line looked real good. And Gensel, like, doesn't Gensel have like 4 goals or 5 goals or something?
He's the latest in line.
He's that guy right now. And who knows if that's going to keep up. But if you have a healthy Crosby and Malkin, life is going to be pretty tough.
But let me ask you this, both you guys, this: who would win in a series, Columbus or Toronto?
Oh,
playing each other?
Yeah.
Toronto.
That's kind of what I'm getting at here. I think that, you know, of course the Penguins destroyed the Blue Jackets, but I don't know if that's really telling of how this round will go because I think Washington had a far more difficult draw.
Oh, yeah, I was saying, I think in January, I don't think Toronto's going to win the first round, but if I'm the team that has to play them, I am not feeling good.
Oh, so you're one-upping my gloat.
I'm hipster in your glow. After the Leafs beat the Sharks back in the day, I was like, I do not want to see this team in the first
round.
Well,
you know what? I called goalie masks happening back in 1949.
Oh, dude, wow. You called that preemptively from like beyond the womb. Nice.
Okay.
Proud of you.
Where were we going with this? Okay.
Look, the only reason...
We're on Nick giving his pick. Maybe that's why this is taking so long.
Yeah, that's right.
Jab.
The only reason that I was apprehensive about picking Pittsburgh over Washington is because of how injured they were at the end of the season. And then a bunch of those guys came back. So I feel better about them.
For those who can't see, his shoulders are very, very high right now. He's giving these shoulders.
Just pick a damn team.
You know what? We'll move on to Joe and join in for part
two.
No, we're doing a cliffhanger pick.
You can't abstain from this.
It's a cliffhanger pick. We will come back to me.
Are you declaring bankruptcy and like you're
filing Chapter 11 as picks?
I know my pick. You guys just don't know my
pick. Okay, Joe, the floor is yours.
All right. How's this for confusing? Pittsburgh in seven.
Okay.
Okay.
Now Ooh. Tell us why.
Because I think as much as Washington wants to beat Pittsburgh, which is why I see it going a seven-game series again, like Nick was saying, like as long as Crosby and Malkin are healthy, like I'm not picking them to lose. Like, and particularly against a Washington team that has not won yet. Like, okay. They haven't been out of the second round, and I don't see them getting by the team they couldn't get by last year and the defending Stanley Cup champion, who, you know, on the front end is very healthy, and they're going to give Washington a lot of fits.
So you're going the history says route?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, Nick, can you do this?
I can tell Felix hates unfinished business. I'm going with Pittsburgh in seven. I'm changing my original pick.
I
love that. There's so many emotions happening on your face right now.
Go ahead.
It doesn't help that you made the same pick I just made.
The healthy Crosby and Malkin, and I know that's only a couple guys, but yeah, I think that's not nothing. And I'm not going to go the history route because the history and the experience route, I think those are both...
Is Marc-Andre Fleury still as good in round two?
We'll see. But he may not have to be.
I don't know what Murray's status is, but...
It sounds like he will not be back in time to at least start the round. So we will still be seeing Fleury for a little bit. But yeah, like I was saying, I don't buy into history or experience or anything like that. I go back to a tweet that I tweeted out when I said,
is everyone just gloating tonight about like,
I tweeted out, I've been looking for a good legitimate reason to pick Washington to not win the cup. And the best reason I can come up with is I just don't see it happening. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, so you're saying Pittsburgh and Sam. Wow. Well, I would have never imagined that'd be the only person saying Washington.
You're sticking with your guns.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. In my bracket, I had Washington winning the cup.
So do I. And I still fully believe that. Oh, man. Okay. Well.
But like, Washington over Chicago, that already isn't going to happen.
I had Washington-Nashville.
So
feel pretty good about that right now.
So you like Washington.
Yes.
Tell us why.
I like Washington. A couple things. In this matchup, I think that the fact that Letang is out, you guys brought it up how that puck-moving pressure from Toronto really gave, you know, Washington some fits. They're not going to have that problem against Pittsburgh. And yes, obviously, Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, but, you know, the depth that they have, Washington's deeper.
They are.
Washington doesn't have a bad line. And defensively, they're just as good.
You could argue Pittsburgh doesn't have a bad line either.
Yeah, but Washington's are better.
They are.
Their
fourth line was a major contributor.
I mean, yeah, Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
OT winner. I don't know. I think this Washington team is incredibly stacked. I think that Lars Eller line, the third line, is going to be, you know, I think they're going to play a major role in sort of counteracting Pittsburgh's top guns. And then, I don't know, man. I can't pick against the sheer talent of this Washington team. Pittsburgh's very good, but Washington's better. I have Washington in seven.
I mean, you look at the roster, and there's every reason to think that Washington can and should win this series.
And I almost want to say Washington six.
Wow.
But I'll give Pittsburgh, you know, I'll give them the respect that they've earned.
If there's any justice in sports as an entertainment business, this series needs to go seven games.
Yeah, especially if, like, you know what would be really shitty? Is if we got seven games of Ottawa Rangers and we got four games of this series.
Yeah, I know, right?
What a shame that would be. I wouldn't feel good about that.
I mean, how do you guys feel about the whole, you know, these two teams are playing each other, and then you got Ottawa, New York on the other side of the bracket?
Are you talking about brackets other than reseeding?
Yeah, like...
I'm over it. Like,
do you care at all?
I thought I wouldn't care. I thought, oh yeah, the bracket's designed to generate rivalries, and you know it seemed like it was doing that, and it probably still is doing that.
Oh, but yeah, that heated Ottawa historic.
Yeah, but, that New like, York.
You cannot have in back-to-back years Washington and Pittsburgh, the two picks to make it to the conference final, one of them not make it to the conference final.
Is it back-to-back-to-back?
It might be, yeah.
Well, they've played each other multiple times.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, directly because of the bracket.
I kind of see both sides. Like, ultimately, we're getting this matchup anyway. So if you get bounced in the third or second round, like, you still know who you have to beat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, you know, that you would think that no matter what the tournament formula is, that the team that's going to win that's good enough to win the cup is going to
have to beat someone good,
right? Yeah.
At some point.
My thing is, I just want to see the best teams and the San Jose Sharks for as long into the playoffs as possible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of crappy. I just don't know what the real solution is, because the playoffs inherently don't always reward the best team anyway.
Do you want to see the best team pick their opponent?
You know, that's been floated around. I think that'd be really fun. You know, like the President's Trophy winner.
Talk about creating rivalries.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, let's say, like, who would have Washington picked if they could have picked anyone?
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, the Boudreaux angle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think they would have picked, like, Columbus or...
Yeah, something. probably Columbus or... I don't know. But anyway, like, it would be fascinating. Like, it would be easily the most intriguing thing. Because, you know, like, oh, great pick. Oh, terrible pick, you know?
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
And then, you know, just as intriguing, if they didn't, like, Toronto was, were they the eighth seed?
Yeah, they were.
So just as intriguing, if they don't pick Toronto, why, what's up with Toronto
now?
Oh,
my God. The amount of narrative that would, it'd be great.
NBC would love that.
But, I would really love about it is that there'd actually be a reward for being good in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, Washington was the hands down the best team in the NHL this season. And, oh, look, you get the most up-and-coming team in the league in the first round.
With a 40-goal scorer.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Ottawa, because they made the second seed in the Atlantic, they get Boston. You know, but, I mean, also, these things are arbitrary. They can change. Some years it makes sense, some years it doesn't. So, like, I'm not totally hung up on it.
Oh, my God. And then, if Washington lost to the team they picked.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's total, like, all the machismo, like, all of this would be totally on display.
Yeah. I do miss just how linear the old format was, just 1 through 8. It's just easier to map out in my head.
The thing leading into the playoffs that I want to see done away with are points for losing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
If like, for me, that's the place you have to start, not, you know, changing the format or, you know, like anything with goal scoring. It's if you lose, you didn't deserve to win, you don't get any points.
Yeah, I think the best one I've heard is 2 points for an overtime, or two points for a regulation win, 1 point for a overtime win, and 0 points for any kind of loss.
Yeah.
So you're encouraging teams to win in regulation, and you're not rewarding losing in any way.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just can't reward losing.
Yeah. Like, it's so stupid. It's
unless you have bring back ties.
Like, we hear all the time in all the professional sports league, this is, you know, these are the best of the best. These are the most competitive people, and yet they don't play, at least in the NHL, they don't play in the most competitive style.
Yeah.
Like, you know, playing for points is not competitive.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I agree. And I mean, you know, like, anyway, this is a much... We could do an entire podcast about that.
We'll save it for the offseason.
So we have our picks. Hold us to it. How far into this are we?
45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Time flies.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about? I have a couple things off the top of my head.
Well, shoot them at us. give us this pop quiz that's going to make me uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, there's Buffalo.
Yeah. With Jack Eichel.
Jack Eichel. And Dan Bylsma.
Buffalo, Canning, the coach, and the GM.
Mm.
There's LA doing the same.
Yeah.
There's Vegas hiring a coach.
Mm.
LA hired a coach.
John Stevens.
Yeah.
Their assistant coach.
And who's getting hired in a couple days? Someone like Bob McKenzie said today.
Oh, Travis Green for Vancouver.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on.
I'm curious, what do you think of Dan Bylsma? It seems like ever since he won the cup with Pittsburgh, he's very slowly started to lose favor with everyone.
It's tough. I think on one hand, I don't think he did everything that he possibly could have with Buffalo. On the other hand, I kind of put him in that Jeff Blashill, Willie DeJardin bin, where it's like, what were these guys really supposed to do with their teams?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, look at Buffalo's blue line.
What blue line?
what were they ever going to do with that?
Yeah.
We just lost our Periscope.
Oh, man. This podcast was so fire.
I'm gonna reset it really quick, so you guys keep talking.
This podcast was so fire, it could not handle.
I mean, their top defenseman is Ristolainen, right? And he's fine offensively, but you know, defensively, doesn't he leave a little bit to be desired?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does have upside, but they're high on him, I think, because of the whole homegrown thing.
We're back.
We did it. Nice job. We're good at technology.
Yeah, Ristolainen, just not... I don't know if he's ever going to get there, personally. Mm. But, you know, like, you're playing Josh George's minutes. You're doing all these things, and it's just like... Brian Gionta's got a no move that he's never going to waive because he's from upstate New York.
Yeah, why does he have a no move clause?
It's just like, I think Buffalo's close. I think if they can get, and you know, easier said than done, but if they can just do something about that blue line, look, their forwards are fine.
Yeah.
And Robin Leonard had a good season.
And Evander Kane had a career year.
Yeah, which, you know.
I mean, he actually stayed mostly healthy this year.
Jeez, so. you look at that trade to get Evander Kane and, oh gosh, who's the other guy? From Winnipeg?
Bogosian.
Yeah. Yes, Zach Bogosian. Another guy who's struggled.
Yes.
They gave up...
Tyler Myers,
Drew Stafford, Joel Armia, and a first-round pick. And Joel Armia's turned out to be a pretty good player.
Drew Stafford's not bad.
Drew Stafford's fine. You know, Tyler Myers would look good on their blue line now.
He would. He really would.
So, I don't know.
I think the argument with Tyler Myers is, was it ever going to happen there?
And it didn't seem like it.
It was a 2015 first-round pick for Winnipeg. I don't know what they did with that.
I wonder who that turned into.
Oh, gosh.
I'm surprised you don't know this.
Oh, man.
You know everyone that's ever been drafted.
No, I don't.
Shame.
Someone needs to look this up, because this will inform the conversation.
I'll look it up if you keep talking.
Okay.
I hope we have a quiz coming up.
Anyway, I don't know. Whoever they hire, I think they're looking for a progressive coach. Vancouver said that.
Do we think?
These are all bad teams.
Because of all the teams that are hiring coaches now, do you think a team's interested in Daryl Sutter, or do you think he's going back into retirement? Because he was in retirement before the Kings.
Does he go back to the farm? That's the big question, right? I don't know. I just think with Buffalo, did you guys watch the press conference with Jack Eichel?
No, I only saw.
Oh my god!
Quotes. I saw the quotes from him.
He did not look happy.
Really?
He shouldn't be happy.
You know, people were criticizing him for his demeanor, and you guys should watch it because it was fascinating. But like he looked kind of aloof. He looked kind of like above answering these questions, which I didn't personally like. But then he also said a lot of real things. Like, I mean, you know, he kind of called out the team. He kind of said, yeah, like, we just weren't that good.
As he should. And you look at Edmonton, you look at Toronto, you look at where they are in the playoffs, and then Buffalo is still in the cellar.
Yeah, and I think Jack Eichel is a fantastic player.
I mean, Edmonton at the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, Eichel missed a big chunk of the season and was still a point-per-game player, I think.
I just think what bothered me about that is that when a player comes out and criticizes, in any way, the team, it's, oh, he's, you know, he's selfish, he's this and that. But if a coach does it, if a GM does it, oh, he's keeping the guys accountable, yeah. Right? So it's like, what do you want? And then, you know, we always talk about how hockey players are boring, quote, machines. But it's like, well, when they do speak out, then all of a sudden there's this huge blowback. So, like, what do we really want?
And I think for some reason he already has this reputation of being, like, kind of a immature punk.
Yeah.
Like, we all remember the... Buffalo, I'm coming for your video. But could you imagine if, like...
I didn't see that.
Oh, dude, we'll show it to you.
Okay.
But could you imagine if, like, Anze Kopitar said the same thing? He'd be getting all this praise for, like, being the guy that's, like, keeping it real and keeping his team accountable. Or I feel like even Connor McDavid could do it. And people would be
Connor
cool with
McDavid's
it.
A little young.
But
maybe, yeah, it's like, oh... Look at the next Mark Messier. Yeah. Oh, if Jonathan Toews did it, it would be like...
Oh, people would love it.
It would not make the news.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe it might.
Like, he would get praised for it.
it's just another tremendous guy showing great leadership above and beyond. It's like,
which, you know, like, I mean, look, calling out your teammates, that can work.
Yeah, like it has worked.
And in Eichel, what he said was, look, a lot of guys are talking a big game of over here in this locker room, saying certain things that they're not backing up on the ice. And I think in some ways that was probably a little bit of a shot at Josh Georges. I think because Josh Georges has always been viewed as a leader, a vocal leader. Like if you go back and watch the Habs had like a kind of like a little reality series, kind of like the 24/7, called 24CH.
Okay.
And they would have little shots of the locker room between periods, and Georges was always the guy talking it up. And that was on veteran teams. So I'm assuming that now with, you know, a younger team, he's probably talking it up even more. And, you know, if you're Jack Eichel and you're the best player on the team and you're hearing this old guy who's not really doing anything out there telling you what to do, that's probably pretty irksome.
Yeah, for sure. And Jack Eichel, you know, he played very well and he's producing and he's playing important minutes for the team. So,
he was point per game.
Yeah. So, my point is, he can back this up. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's one thing if he's not a point per game guy.
But remember, it's not all about points. It's not all about points.
Goals don't matter, guys.
Anyway.
Okay.
15th overall pick, or whoever Winnipeg's pick was in 2015.
In 2015, Winnipeg selected, with a pick from St. Louis via Buffalo, Jack Roslovich.
Oh.
A center from America.
Okay. No clue.
Yeah. Yeah, he played in the USHL.
Okay. So
the U.S. national.
I guess they dodged a bullet there.
Yes.
Apparently. Okay, so I hope Buffalo figures it out, because to me, like, they're a fun franchise when they're doing well. Like, you know, they're kind of one of those original franchises. They're part of the original 12.
Mm. I mean, back when, you know, they had Ryan Miller and Daniel Briere and Chris Drury. They were a fun team to watch.
Brian Campbell.
Yeah, like, I loved watching them on national broadcast.
Maxim Afanaganov.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like, he's an incredible player to watch.
Yeah, I just think with Buffalo, it's crazy how they did everything you should do if you're not winning the Stanley Cup, basically, which was bottom out, and they just didn't get Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
They had the best odds to do it, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
It magically didn't happen.
Like, imagine if that team is Connor McDavid right now.
And no blue line.
Dude, in the East, they're in the playoffs.
Probably.
Yeah.
But
are they in the Atlantic? They are, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they would definitely be in the playoffs.
It says so much about them that, like, you can't even think of the division.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy how sometimes it's just the roll of the dice with these things. Even if you do everything right, the draft is still very much a crapshoot. But look, hey, they got Jack Eichel.
Yeah. This is
find a way to surround him.
You know, yeah, with coming out of that press conference and, you know, the rumors about, you know, him getting Biles canned, you know, the things that started popping up was people were starting to speculate, when his contract's up, does he resign with Buffalo?
Yeah.
Like, if there aren't any significant changes.
Well, he got his way this time.
Yeah, so that's one change. You know, so if they keep going and they start actually improving, you would think, yeah, of course he stays in Buffalo. But like, if Buffalo continues to be abysmal, the speculation right now is maybe he doesn't want to come back.
And the other team that had the second highest odds to get McDavid was Arizona, and they also lost out.
Yeah, and they really could have used him.
So, you know, it's like, it's these things are crazy.
This is a big summer for Buffalo, because if they can fill out that blue line,
they'll be in on Kevin Shattenkirk.
They ought to be.
Yeah,
they ought to be.
All right, I think we've covered enough.
I agree.
I think that my last point will be that what I noticed is when Gerard Gallant got hired by Vegas, I think to a T, every kind of like mainstream pundit was like, good hockey man.
Yeah,
all of them.
Like, it's like a poor Gerard Gallant getting fired and like having to take like a club car or a taxi. No, it wasn't a taxi. It was like a company car.
Oh.
Poor Gerard Gallant. Like, you know, it's just like...
And also the
pity party.
The use of good hockey man. Like, what's that mean?
I mean, I think he's a fine coach. But
he annoys me a little bit. I think he spends too much time in the referee's ear.
Well, I'm just... Like, the fact that everyone is rooting for him because of that makes me like him a little bit less through no fault of his own.
Right.
It makes me wonder, though, what Vegas will look like now.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that, you know, they pick a good team that he can do something with.
Yeah.
Not against the Sharks, but, you know, do something with.
We shall see. Round two.
Can't wait. Guys, we'll be back at some point.
To correct more of our mistakes.
Yeah, to correct our mistakes at the very latest, at the end of round two / the beginning of round three. But until then, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more of our mistakes or correct, you know, high horse, what are these?
Just general ramblings.
Just patting ourselves on the back. listen to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. We are also on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. Guys, enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Don't forget to leave a review. If you're a listener of this podcast and you enjoy it, we would love to hear your thoughts.
Helps us get noticed.
Good or bad, preferably good. But yeah, reviews are really important. So if you're listening to this pod and you've been listening, you've been subscribing, please, please, please leave a review. It doesn't have to be an essay, a quick paragraph, a few sentences. Whatever it takes, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, it helps people notice the show, and that is a good thing, according to me. Guys, thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon.